How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 182 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, leave a review once you're on that page. Find us on audioboom.com, log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. See all my Thunder coverage there. Got a big feature on Andre Roberson that comes out Tuesday morning, so you can check that out on the site. I broke down film with Andre, sat down with him for a while, breaking down a bunch of different video clips, and you can read that piece, see the video clips, all that stuff up on normantranscript.com on Thunder Road. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday, recording this one from a hotel room in Minneapolis. And on the Skype line, I have 12th time guest. You might know him as Royce Young. I just know him as Royce Young. It's Royce Young.
I introduce myself to everybody now as, you know, I'm a 12-time guest on Locked On Thunder.
Really? Because you've only been a 12-time guest for like a minute.
Everybody I see, I'm telling them this. Well, I've basically been telling them this since you texted me about like 3.5 hours ago and asked me to come on. And then I was, you know, I updated my resume and went to my LinkedIn. You know, went on Facebook, let everybody know.
Did you update your Friendster though?
Yeah. Oh, I'm trying to get on my MySpace right now.
Were you ever on Friendster? Were you on Friendster?
I don't even know what Friendster is. I've heard of it, but I don't even know.
Friendster was before MySpace.
So no, I was not on that. No.
There was a point in my life where I'm paraphrasing here, but there was a point in my life where I said the sentence, "This Facebook thing is never going to be better than MySpace."
Well, you were wrong.
I was not cut out for that industry. That was incorrect.
Yeah, I did have a MySpace. I think I did.
Oh, yeah, I had a MySpace. I had a MySpace, and I had, because when I was in like ninth grade, Facebook, you could only be, it was only for college students when I was in like ninth grade. No, when I was I think 10th grade, it came back down. Then I think you could, high schoolers could join Facebook, and now it's
Facebook
for all. Now it's for everybody.
Facebook came out when I was a freshman in college, and it was actually, you know, and I, when we joined it, it was still called the Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Old man Young over here.
Just old guy here.
Yeah. Royce old.
That's right. More like Royce old. Not Royce Young.
How many times you get more like Royce old?
not near enough.
Yeah.
Very clever.
All right, Royo, let's talk about Sunday.
Yeah.
You huge, huge gap in the Thunder experience was you not being at that game.
Maybe played better than I wasn't.
No, when Russell Westbrook goes for triple double number 42, I love Tim McMahon. His piece was really good. No one's like, I got to check the McMahon column. Yeah, when the Dallas thing comes out, you want to check McMahon. When like there's a Cuban story, you check McMahon. When there's a Thunder story, you check Royce Young. That's what it is. And it sucks that you weren't there to write about it. Let's talk about it though.
That's very nice of you to say, but that's what I'm here for.
Yes, that's why you're on. You got the people have to know.
I can recap the whole experience of me watching that on my television.
The people have to know what went through Royce Young's mind when Russ hit that shot.
I mean, okay, so let's recap the whole situation here. You know, first of all, the possession before, and I'm curious to know your opinion on this, Fred. You know, the Thunder not fouling there, and which I was torn the whole possession, and you know, it reminded me. Now, Billy Donovan was not the coach at this time, But it reminded me of, I don't remember what it was, game 4 or 5 or something like that against the Memphis Grizzlies. It might have been game 2 against the Grizzlies. And that one playoff series they played in like 2014 when they all went to all those overtime games. And Scott Brooks elected not to foul in a similar type of situation. Uh-huh. In that time, there was only like a 1.5-second differential on the shot clock. Naturally, guess what? Russell Westbrook picks Mike Conley's pocket somehow, bails Scott Brooks out, and gets a layup to send the game to overtime. I was sitting there thinking of that same type of deal. Like, well, I guess Billy's letting this play out because he just knows Russ is going to do something here to make him look smart. And I thought Jamal Murray was going to do the dumbest thing in the world, which was, you know, take a shot with like 10 seconds left on the shot clock. He kicks out. You know, the Thunder end up getting a stop, blah, blah, blah. So when, you know, obviously we all know that, you know, Russ is going to take the shot here, and we all know he's going to take a three. Like, these are things pre-written in history. And I did not anticipate him to take a 40-foot three. And, like, I think you tweeted it, Fred. Didn't you tweet something like, this feels like a 3,000-hit Jeter moment or something like that?
Yes, I did.
And even when I saw you tweet that, I smirked to myself because I thought, it would seem that way, but I've watched Russell Westbrook his whole career. And even in this magical season, like, it never just goes perfectly right. It just doesn't. I mean, sports just don't work that way. When you expect it to go perfectly right, even those moments where it's like the stars of a line for like the 3,000 hit for Jeter or whatever it might be, it's just not going to happen. And so, like, when Kyle Singler can't get the ball in, like, I'm just, you know, fully expecting an air ball here. When the dang thing went through the basket, though, like, I mean, it was just like just throw your laptop up in the air and be like, I don't even know what I'm watching anymore. It was like, I feel like there's like no reaction to be had because this is like, well, why not? I mean, seriously, why not? Why not go in the basket? Thing ought to just go in. That's just the way it's going for Russell right now.
Yeah. The, Scott Brooks have a similar thing? Am I misremembering what year was it? When they played the Clippers, 2014 Western Conference semis. Didn't he do a similar thing where they didn't foul with like a 4 second differential against the Clippers?
Is that when Russell drew a foul on a three, maybe?
Yeah, that was Chris Paul fouled Russell.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Durant sat in the corner with his back turned.
That was a different game. That was the Chris Paul meltdown game. That was when Chris Paul fouled Russell, and then Chris Paul threw up that like full court shot, remember?
Right, right, right.
Because he thought he got fouled. And that was also game 5, because the Clippers should have gone up 3-2 in that game. Maybe I'm misremembering. Maybe it was Clippers in another team. I remember the Thunder doing that with Scott Brooks against the Clippers.
Shouldn't the Thunder have fouled, though? I mean, am I wrong? I mean, I know the hindsight being what it is that worked out, sure. But, like,
I would have fouled.
Mike Malone, I thought, made a smart decision because he subbed, and there really wasn't an obvious guy. You know, in a 24-second possession, you know, the ball is going to touch a lot of different hands. And Mike Malone made a smart – I don't remember who he subbed out, but I know that he put 5 good free-throw shooters on the floor. So, like, there wasn't, like, a guy out there that you'd say, oh, you know, wrap that guy up right now. But still, when you decide to play it out like that, I mean, Denver could have done a lot of different things. They could have just stood at half court, and Jamal Murray, like, could have just stood out there and then, you know, right as the shot clock's about to go off, just launched, like, a shot as high as he possibly could in the air at the rim or something. I mean, like, you know, they could have done a number of different things. That probably would have been more beneficial than actually taking a shot. I mean, or if Jokic just makes that shot, which, you know, honestly, that was a pretty good look for him, you know, the game's over. You know, so, I mean, it was a huge gamble to take for Billy Donovan. It worked out, and it produced – and I'm thankful that he did it because it produced one of the best moments in the NBA season.
I'm, like, 96% sure, though, that Billy Donovan has, like, a direct line. You know how when you were a kid and your parents – well, my parents didn't, but many, many parents would tell their kids, like, yeah, we'll talk to Santa and we'll get back to you. Like, that's what Billy Donovan has with the basketball gods this year.
what's Russ going to do? Okay.
That's yeah. It. Let me talk to the basketball gods and I'll get back to you. All right. Russ is going to hit a 38 footer with no time left on the clock. So we're not going to foul. Okay, great.
Wasn't that amazing? And everybody kept asking me this and it is true, but that's Russ's first buzzer beating game winner.
Yeah, that is.
Isn't that amazing?
Did you see that Haberstroh stat from today?
About the shots in the final 10 seconds or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. He's at 7 of those this year.
Right. 7. And that, like,
We should probably say what we're talking about because
the whole point
is that people listen to this.
Let's just let everybody just assume.
Yeah, he's hit seven shots with his team down with either a tie game or them down 1, 2, or 3 within the last 10 seconds. Mostly.
Which we've learned though that Russ is terrible at clock management because this is the first one as the buzzer sounded.
Well, you know. Here's the thing. For the most part, when you're losing, you want to get up a shot as quickly as possible. You want to get up a shot as quickly as possible. Like that's conceptually what you want to do. You want to maximize the amount of possessions. And look, if you tell Russell Westbrook, hey, Russ, the best strategic thing for us right now is you getting up a shot as quick as possible. Guess what?
He says, sir, yes, sir.
He's going to do it. He's going to do that.
Isn't this a huge contrast, though? I'm trying to remember exactly the game. I think it was the loss in Houston, not the most recent one, but the one before it. Russ took a pull-up three. He took it over Harden, remember?
Yeah,
and
I do.
Missed it. And, you know, previously against the Rockets, he had taken a pull-up three
and
over
Royce,
Beverly.
When he took that, and when he took that shot, Royce, he also had 47 points in the Rockets game.
Oh, really?
Didn't he finish that game with 47?
I think you might be right. But do you remember all the conversation, and deservedly so, coming out of those games? Because it was like, why is Westbrook settling for threes? Why is Westbrook doing this? Why Westbrook shot selection in big moments? And, like, you know, the funny thing about that was to me is, like, you know, just like 2.5, 3 weeks prior, he hit all those threes in crunch time against the Boston Celtics. And it's just like, this is the Russell Westbrook experience. Like, some are going to go in, some are not. Nothing is going to change. Like, I mean, it's not like Russ is going to like have this moment of self-reflection, like where he's going to change his mind. Like he's going to operate always by the seat of his pants. There's nothing like pre-planned or like he's not, you know, he's out there kind of reading the moment. It's just, he plays so much on instinct and in the moment and what he feels. And truly like what makes him so spectacular in these moments is so much more than I think a lot of other players is like a true, actual fearlessness. Like he does not worry about the outcome. Like I don't think Russell Westbrook is sweating whether or not he makes or misses it. I don't think he necessarily worries too much about it. And I think a lot of guys might worry about, you know, the optics of the shot or what it, you know, if was it, was he hogging it? Should he have passed? Russell Westbrook, for better or for worse, I mean, that make that clear. Like he just doesn't care and he's just going to live with it. And especially in this season now without Kevin Durant, and it's clear, it's 100% clear that it's his moment and his moment alone. He feels such a freedom, I think, to just like, this is the shot I'm taking. We're either going to win or lose based on the shot and whether or not I make it. And I think Russell, there's like this clarity where he just feels this freedom that it's like, it's on my back and I don't care. I can live with the results.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. It does kind of sound like a cliche, but like Greg Popovich said that about him not too long ago, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, before the game, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think when Greg Popovich says it, it kind of holds a lot of weight. Because
I think it holds more when I say it. I think it's more about me here.
Yeah, Greg Popovich is not one to just kind of throw around things for the sake of throwing.
But there are guys. That's what Pop was basically saying. There are guys that, you know, some guys kind of run from that moment, and it's not that, you know, maybe the ball will find them in some of those moments, but like Russell is seeking it out every game. Like every time it's close, Russell wants it. And like, there are different guys that may kind of shy away from it in a moment or two, or like they will take it when it comes to them. But like every single big shot, Russell wants it. And like he's 7 of 18. I think that was the number, right? That Tom tweeted 7 of 18 in those.
Yeah.
If Russ was 0 of 18, the 19th shot is his and he's taking it and he doesn't care if it goes. I mean, that's just the way the guy is wired.
It's like that famous Kobe quote.
Yeah.
Never go 0 for 9, go 0 for 30 before I go 0 for 9.
Because that means that he lost confidence or
whatever. No, that's a famous Dion Waiters quote.
Yeah, that's what I was making that joke. I was trying to make that joke.
That's like the greatest Dion moment of the year.
Yeah.
When Dion just plagiarized that Kobe Bryant quote.
Or was it better? Was it better when he said, it's like my favorite quote, and then he couldn't remember?
That was great. That was awesome.
I wonder what old Dion Waiters, wonder what he thinks of this MVP race. I wonder who his player's ballot is going to go to.
Oh, he's going to vote for Russ.
I figured he'd vote for himself.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I bet you he votes for himself for most improved.
Hey, he's got a case.
Eh.
If he hadn't gotten hurt.
He's very improved. I don't mean that, but like Giannis exists.
Does he?
And like Jokic exists.
We're not allowed to. Giannis doesn't count because we're not allowed to count players from another planet. I mean, like, they have to be of our species.
And like, there's so many. You know, the most improved race this year is amazing.
So a lot of the things on the ballot are very, very difficult to parse. Yeah.
Jokic is a great one. Giannis is obviously a great one. Isaiah Thomas is a great one.
I mean, you got the people that could get all existential on it, and they could vote like Westbrook or Harden. I don't really like those most improved votes. I don't like when people do that because it's like, okay, a great player got a little bit greater. Like, that's not – I don't think that that's the spirit of the award personally.
I don't like when people vote second-year players.
Yeah, that's not very fair either because it's like, yeah, a rookie got better. Surprise, surprise.
Right. If he doesn't get better, there's cause for concern. See, that's why, like, I wouldn't have Jokic on my ballot even though he's like – going to be an all-NBA.
But he has taken such a clear leap. I mean, like, he's been improved just throughout the season, I feel like.
No, I'm not knocking his game. I'm just
– Yeah, I mean, it's fair. I've got Seth Curry as my three, and I don't love it, but, like, I don't know.
You know,
I think he's quiet. I mean, he's shooting up plus 40%. I think he's, like, 44% from three or something like that.
Can I make a suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
James Johnson.
You know, I saw somebody make that case. I think it might have been Tim Reynolds of the AP. Might have made the – I think that's who it was.
Makes sense. He's Miami guy.
Yeah, but I think he made the case for him to win it. And, you know, I was kind of like, oh, okay, well, you know, who knows. And I was kind of looking at it. And, you know, James Johnson has been rather spectacular for the Heat in the last, like, 2 months.
Who – to me, like, you said that, like, going from a great player to, like – a little bit greater player is not in the spirit of the award. To me, the James Johnson season, like this James Johnson season, is the exact spirit of the award.
You're probably right because it's a good NBA player that has clearly like significantly improved himself.
And he's been around – how long has James Johnson been in the league?
Probably 8 years. I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah, it sounds
five,
right.
Five, like, at least five.
He's been an inconsistent shooter, struggled to get playing time in a bunch of different places, played for a bunch of different teams. Like, always been a good defensive player, physical player, but he's 30 years old. He's played for five teams. He's up to 35% in the high volume of threes this year. He's, like, he's a contributing defensive player on a top five or six defense. He's good. He's a good passer within their offense. Gets a lot of playing time.
I mean, there's other – I mean, there's
– I love, like – I'm not saying he should win or anything like that, but – I'm going to be really excited for whomever votes for him because I love that vote.
Yeah. And like, I like, you know, I thought for a moment, and this is kind of going about against what I just said, but like, I think honestly, like a guy like Kawhi Leonard actually has a pretty good case for that because Kawhi, I feel like, you know, if you look at like his offensive numbers, like what was the big thing with Kawhi? Like his career high was 26 for forever, remember, or whatever it was. And like right. He became like a serious go-to offensive player this year. And like I mean I wouldn't have voted for him, but like I think that guys like him do have a little bit more of a case than somebody like Westbrook or Harden or you know Curry or whoever it might be. So you said Isaiah Thomas? Didn't Isaiah Thomas win it once before?
Did he win most improved?
I think he won most improved. Can you win most improved twice? Is that allowed?
I guess there was a case for Paul George winning most improved a second time.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I mean,
well, because he won most improved when he just became like good.
Right.
And then the next year he became great. I'm like, oh, he could win most improved again.
Yeah. Well, like I feel like most improved also is like one of those low key disrespectful things. It's like, we kind of used to think you sucked.
Definitely. it's like when you lose a lot of weight and people are like, you look great now. I'm like, now? What do you mean now?
You look so much better than you did before. Here's an award.
Why are you saying now? Yeah. It's just them get like it, you look great now is unleashing all the negative stuff that you wanted to say about someone in a positive way.
Yeah.
It's unleashing all of it. That's all it is. I think you can make it totally make Isaiah Thomas until like 2 years ago, they thought he was a They thought he was Jamal Crawford.
Right.
He was a six man. He was an instant offense guy.
Yeah, now he's a an all-NBA player. He's going to be on an all-NBA team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be in a lot of MVP ballots. I don't know if he'll finish fifth, but he'll definitely get votes. He'll be in the top five.
He will get votes. I mean, that fifth spot is pretty wide open. I mean, everybody knows who four of the candidates are, but, like, the fifth spot is figuring that out.
You going to go Curry?
Well, not for my fifth spot.
Are you going to have him? Are you allowed to talk about this? Am I not?
Yeah, I can talk. I can talk. Of course I can talk about it. Yeah. Everybody's going on record saying whether my big hot MVP take that I'm out there with is I've got Steph Curry third on my MVP ballot.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think we talked about it the other day, didn't we?
We talked about it at dinner.
The explanation for it to me is pretty simple. Like, you cannot hold against Steph. I think, you know, and I think you brought this point up about Russell a couple weeks ago, Fred. Whatever Russell does next year, look, he's not going to get 42 triple doubles, I don't think. And so people are going to, within the context of the greatness that he accomplished this season, are going to act as if he's had some sort of down year, right? And, like, I think people have had this same type of mentality with Curry. I mean, Curry, like, 2 years ago when he won MVP, he was great, he was wonderful. But last year, he was truly, like, transcendently great when he was unanimous MVP. And so people have, like, now put Curry on this pedestal of, like, well, he needed to exceed the expectations of a truly, you know, just amazing season. If you look at Curry's numbers right now, I mean, he's 25 a game on, you know, 47, 40, 90 shooting, I think, something like that. You know, he's at, like, 6.5 assists a game. He's running the best offense in the NBA. You know, then you've got the fact that Durant goes down with an injury. And what are the Warriors won? I think 13 or 14 in a row. I forget now.
14, yeah.
14 in a row. And it's been like – and they've found that level of play based on Steph being Steph again, right? And so, like, and if you want to make, like, you know, the case for so many different players about wins or whatever it is, then the Warriors are the best team in the NBA by far. And to me – you know, I think personally Durant is the best player on that team. I really do. I think Kevin is truly, like, the Warriors' best player. I think he's presents so many more matchup problems. But, like, I do think that Steph and the way Steph plays is what makes the Warriors, like, a truly, like, just unstoppable machine. And I don't know. I think that he deserves it. I think he should be in that top three.
I also think with him and KD, it's about the games too. Like, if Durant doesn't get hurt, if he's not
if Durant
play
plays all 82, I think he's, in my mind, he's probably third on my ballot.
Right. The top five is easy.
Yeah.
If he's healthy all year, it's going to be those five guys. And I mean, now Giannis is going to be on ballots. He's amazing. Isaiah Thomas will be.
Wall.
John Wall for sure. Those are, like, probably, is there anyone else I'm forgetting?
Did you say Kyle Singler?
Hey, Kyle Singler was pretty good.
I know. I'm saying late push. Yeah. Late push. Can the guy win most improved off of one game? Is that possible?
One of Kyle was pretty good. I to the point that I talked about him on the podcast yesterday.
Yeah. I was happy for him.
Yeah, me too. He's a nice guy.
He did have a rugged air ball. But
yes, he did have a rugged air ball. He's a nice guy. He gets a lot of crap.
Yeah.
He gets so much crap, and he just kind of shakes it off.
Yeah. I mean, he's making $5 million a year. What's he got to worry about?
He's also, like, a, like, incredibly laid-back human being.
Yeah.
Like cough syrup laid-back. Like, he talks like he just had a bunch of cough syrup, and he, like, has a cold. Very laid-back and, like, very Oregonian, you know?
Yeah. I think I know what you're – most people would know what you're driving at here.
Actually, that's not what I was driving at all. That honestly isn't what I was driving at all. But I guess it did sound like I was talking about weed. But I honestly wasn't. I was not talking about
I'm looking at here for another candidate for fifth. I think we named them all. I don't think you can come up with another guy. I mean, like Gordon Hayward, you can't put him on a ballot. I mean, I think, you know, most times you could make a really, as always, a good case for Chris Paul, but he's missed a lot of games.
Right, the missed games. Did you know that Chris Paul has the highest net rating of any non-Warrior in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, the that's what people are like, what's wrong with the Clippers? Well, Chris Paul's missed – how many games has he missed? 20 games?
Yeah, 20 games.
So, like, yeah, what's wrong with the Clippers? Well, Chris Paul missed 20 games. Their best player missed 20 games.
Clippers are going to surprise some people in the postseason. I say that every year, and I'm always wrong. But the Clippers are going to surprise some people.
You think that they're going to beat the Jazz in the first round?
Yeah, I do.
I think but I think the Warriors stomp them. I do. I think the Warriors are just going to buzz through everybody.
They get destroyed by Golden State. They get absolutely destroyed by Golden State over and over again.
I know. That's why I think it would have been better for the Clippers to fall into six, honestly, since they couldn't go up to three.
They could beat San Antonio. They beat San Antonio a playoff series 2 years ago.
I 100% believe that.
Yeah, they beat them 2 years. They could out-athletic them. DeAndre and Blake are really tough for those. Like DeAndre and Blake against, like, Pau Gasol, that's tough.
Yeah.
They got to play Dwayne Dedman 25 minutes in that series if they're going to do that, 25 a game probably. But that's tough for them. But, yeah, I mean, the Clippers are plus 14 per 100 possessions when Chris Paul's on the floor this year.
Oh, here's a prediction for you. I bet you that DeMar DeRozan gets a couple fifth-place votes.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody throws DeMar DeRozan a vote or two.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I mean, what else we got? Third in the East. He's, you know, he had a really nice scoring season. Like, I bet he gets a couple.
Want to play a game?
Okay, let's play a game.
Let's try to figure out how many players on the ballot will get one fifth. There are always those random guys at the end who got one fifth place vote.
Oh yeah, of course.
Who do you think are going to be the guys who get one fifth place vote?
For what? Which award? MVP?
Yeah, MVP.
Okay. Well, so just one?
DeRozan's a good one. DeRozan's a good one.
I'm going to say DeRozan gets at least one. I mean, one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say
Draymond Green might get one.
I could see. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Draymond could get one.
I could see fifth place vote. Let's see.
You think Hayward could get one?
I think that's kind of what I was looking at the Jazz roster, just like, yeah. I could see somebody saying Gobert, too, like just being like, yes, all crazy, like his defense. I could see Mike Conley maybe getting one, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, early in the season, I remember, it might have been Zach Lowe or somebody, I don't remember who it was, but like when the Grizzlies got off to a really nice start, they kind of floated the idea of Mike Conley as an MVP candidate. And I like jumped all aboard that because I'm just like such a Mike Conley fan. And like,
yeah, he's great. I mean, he's great when he's healthy.
Yeah.
He says, you know what it is? He has the worst luck ever.
He seriously has the worst luck. He just runs his face into stuff.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even know. Like, he definitely flies United. Like, I don't even know. So many of his injuries have nothing to do with being injury prone. Like, getting smashed in the face and breaking your face is not being injury prone. That's just getting smashed in the face. And then getting smashed in the face and getting a cut in your eye and getting 13 stitches is not injury prone. That's just getting smashed in the face again.
Like, oh, here's the fifth vote. Damian Lillard, 100%. Somebody's.
That's a good one. He's playing great lately.
He just had the 59-point game. Like, the Blazers. I mean, what did the Blazers start this year? I don't remember. What was their at the lowest point?
They were way low. They were probably at least 10.
And like, Lillard was, like, at the heart of, like, bringing them back and – I'm looking at them now. They were at one point they were 18 and 27. I think that might have been their low point. No, they're 23 and 33. That's 24 and 35. So they were 11 games under at one point.
They did the same thing last year.
Yeah, they did.
And then they made that run in the second half.
I mean, they're probably going to finish 500. I don't know if San Antonio is going to play everybody, but it sounded like
that's going to be a fun series, Portland Golden State.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of points.
So many points, and Lillard Curry is a fun matchup.
Yeah,
Lillard is one of my favorite players to watch. He's a blast to watch. He's just an incredible offensive player.
Yeah,
might not make all league.
So here's the more fun game to me. Who gets the most random like all defense vote?
Who gets the most random all defense?
Yeah, because all defense I feel like is where you see like somebody's like You know, Goran Dragic got an all-defense vote? Like some
local Royce, based on my research, the answer might be Cody Zeller.
Oh, ooh. Yeah, Cody Zeller's on my second team ballot, everybody.
Yeah.
Rough draft. Although I got to send this thing in soon. It's quickly about to not be a rough draft anymore. You might be right. That might be the most random one. I might win the award.
That might be the most random one.
Hey, I did my research.
Cody Zeller's good.
He's a very good defensive player.
Yeah, no, he's good.
Well, and like I think we talked about it. Like when you hash it out and you start looking at like, okay, so like, you know, Draymond and Gobert obviously have to be first team all defense. So like, you know, you're now second team all center, all defensive center is like open. Like you could go with the status quo. You could go like DeAndre Jordan or Whiteside or something like that. But I don't know. I mean, Cody Zeller, if you look at the on-off numbers, if you look at a lot of different things, like he's been a really, really solid defensive player.
Yeah, he's really good in the pick and roll.
Yeah, good, great. I think you mentioned it, but it's true. Great at verticality.
Yeah, he's really good at verticality. He's a great screen setter. Has nothing to do with being good at defense, but I like that.
He's got great running form, too. Does that count?
Does he have great running form?
I just feel like he does.
You know who doesn't have good running form? Domantas Sabonis. You know who has the same running form, like running form doppelgangers? Harrison Barnes and Mark Teixeira.
I know you. This is somehow the second time you've made that comparison to me, and it's the random thing of all time.
They have the same running form. They're both incredibly upright, and Kim English also kind of had the same running form. Very
deep cut,
very upright.
Deep Missouri cut there.
Yeah, it's a deep Missouri cut. It might be a deep Detroit Pistons cut, too.
Kim English.
Or a deep Washington Wizards Summer League 2013 roster cut.
Yeah.
And that's – hi, Carrie.
I got a podcast appearance back there.
Carrie, I'll let him go in 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes, Royce, or you
got
to go?
I got 5 minutes.
Okay. Great.
What am I doing?
Who's Carrie voting for six man?
Who's your six man, Carrie?
Domas.
Domas has become her favorite player.
Wait, why is Domas your favorite player?
I think he tries really hard and he's really cute.
There we go. That's Royce. I think Carrie needs to fill out your ballot.
I might as well let her. Yeah. When people see this thing, they're gonna think I'm an idiot.
I was gonna edit that out, but then when Carrie started talking and said Domas, now we got to leave the whole thing in.
Well, she did have great reasons.
I was gonna edit it out, being like, yeah, 5 minutes, and yeah, we haven't talked about the Thunder at all.
Oh yeah, well, did they play recently?
We didn't talk about Westbrook. The whole thing, he came on to talk about Westbrook.
We talked about Westbrook. What are you talking about?
We talked about Westbrook. I guess
we started the whole thing out with Westbrook. They're gonna play the Rockets. Fred, give me your Thunder Rockets take right now, or is that for a later time?
I'm doing a preview podcast later in the week, so I got something to talk about. Give me your third most important thing, so I won't make you use your two most important. Third most important thing in the series. Yeah.
Patrick Beverley not running into Russell Westbrook.
That might be the most important.
Yeah, that's pretty critical. That might be my number one. I would say here's my big prediction on it, and this is probably gonna be totally wrong. I think we see Jeremy Grant at center a lot in the series.
I think that's a good prediction. I'm gonna give you a warped version of that prediction. I think we see Taj Gibson, Jeremy Grant front courts in the series.
That probably might be true, and that might be why Billy has been trying that out a little bit. Is to try to get a feel for it. But I'm imagining like a lineup where you go with Grant at the five. I mean, I guess technically like Dre would be your four, but like, you know, whatever it might be. But basically a three guard lineup, Dre and Grant. I just think that, you know, and then obviously the Rockets can counter you and they can go to Nene, and that becomes a problem. And that's why Gibson probably makes more sense. But I mean, Capella is not like a post threat. And I think that Grant honestly can probably just – it can hang with him to a degree. So I don't know. I wonder if this series might be Mike D'Antoni and Billy Donovan. Like, it's a race to who can go smaller. You know, like, is D'Antoni going to play Ryan Anderson at the five? You know, like, who can go smaller and who can be more effective with it? I don't think that – I mean, maybe you disagree. I don't think Billy's going to be able to go super big. I don't think the Stash Brothers – you know, there's this idea that sometimes you can, you know, fight one style with your own style. And, like, you know, people thought that about – the Golden State series, like, oh, you know, the Thunder have this two big lineup with Adams and Cantor, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to overpower the Death lineup. What did Billy do? Billy just, like, stared the Death lineup in the face and went small right back at it, and for the most part outplayed it in the series. So I kind of think that he's going to do the same thing against the Rockets.
Going big against going small works when your bigs can defend on the perimeter.
Right. And Adams can. Cantor cannot.
Right. And the reason why Adams Cantor specifically doesn't work, and it's really simple math, is just that three is greater than two. So right. if you're getting all the buckets inside, but they're all getting all the buckets outside, they're gonna score 50% more points than you. Even if they shoot a worse percentage and you are inside, they're gonna, you know, put a 115 offensive efficiency and you're gonna put up a 103.
And the Rockets are different than the Warriors too, in that, I mean, Golden State was obviously a high-velocity three-point shooting team. The Rockets are on a different level than that even. I mean, like, the Rockets are desperate to shoot threes, and they don't mind if they crank 50 of them in a game. And if you have Cantor out there, especially playing like a stretch four for extended minutes, the Rockets are going to get their threes. It's just a matter of whether or not they go in. And to me, like, the critical number in the series is going to be, like, I would say it's like 30. If the Thunder can keep the Rockets – maybe even more than that, but like I would say 30, like less than 30 threes on average a game, like attempted, and the Thunder have a chance in the series. Like, right. To me, it's not about what the Rockets shoot percentage-wise from three. I mean, these are NBA players. This is something Billy Donovan's talked about before, and I think he's absolutely correct about it. So many people focus in terms of perimeter defense about like what a team's shooting percentage is from three. In the NBA, great three-point shooters exist today. Guys make contested shots. Sometimes it doesn't matter what you do. You can only try to make it tough. The real number is about how many they get to attempt. If you can run them off the line and keep them from taking them, that's what's critical. And so, like, 30 is probably too low of a number. It might be like more like 35. But, like, limiting the Rockets' attempts is going to be critical.
Royce, tell the people what you're working on.
I am actually working on a story for I don't know when we're running it. Probably like a – I don't know if you call it a playoff preview story or a season wrap-up story, but something about a certain player in the Thunder that's had a good year, kind of a surprising year, a historical year.
Dakari, you know, Johnson.
Well, I was going to say look for my feature on Domantas Sabonis.
Sixth man of the year.
Yeah, I mean it's – trying to kick his campaign off here a little bit late.
My favorite part of Sabonis' Sixth Man of the Year campaign is that he's not even eligible.
Right.
He started 60 games. Yeah. Totally ineligible. But they're gonna make an exemption because he's cute and he tries hard.
Yeah. I mean, the reasoning is pretty rock solid. That's why I'm voting Westbrook too. I mean, he's cute and he tries hard.
There you go. Royce, you're at Royce Young on Twitter.
Uh-huh. Still that.
You can remember I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. iTunes to subscribe to Locked On Thunder. Questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. Or you can find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. Check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage. What's next for the Thunder there? That'll do it for today. I'm back tomorrow. We didn't mention the game at all. Playing the Timberwolves. Tonight.
Is anybody even going to play?
Yeah, you think – what's your educated guess? They haven't announced anything. What's your educated guess?
I bet Westbrook sits this one. I do. I don't know why.
No, I agree. I think he's going to sit too.
I think he's going to sit. And like you – I think you tweeted it, Fred, and you're right. People act like, no, Russ plays all 82. No, he doesn't. He's got a track record of not. And I think if Russ thought it was important to the MVP that all 82 games was going to matter to a voter, then I think he would play. I don't think anybody's going to focus on that necessarily. Like, and that's going to be some like criteria, especially with their seed locked up, everything in place. I think Russ sits this one and he plays at home. I think he's going to play the last game at home.
There is not one MVP voter who cares if a guy plays 82 versus 81 games.
And you don't think there's some crusty guy out there that's like all hating on the DNP rest stuff, and he's like, ah, oh, Westbrook played all 82. I just imagine.
But Harden doesn't rest either, though.
But he missed a game because he was sick.
If someone votes, the tiebreaker, Russ played 82 versus Harden played 81, then that person needs to lose their vote immediately.
And but here's the bigger question to me, Fred. I know now you just tried to wrap the thing up, and here we are talking more. So, let's say, to me, it almost makes some level of sense. Then, okay, play Russ for the first quarter, then, right? Fine. But now you don't want to obliterate his averages, you know?
Well, there's also a thing of rest. Rest is a lot to do. It has just as much to do with the mental aspect of it as the
right and the preparation.
Exactly. If he's playing the first quarter, his workout regimen, he gets there, he starts working out 3 hours before the game.
Right.
That's not rest. That's not rest. That's the exhausting part is the preparation and going up to it and then getting yourself psyched up for a game and then playing the first quarter. It's like, he might as well just play then. He might as well just play 28 minutes then.
Unless they have some reason to Billy wants to try out some lineups or there's something that they're trying to prepare. There's no reason to play Westbrook both these games. To me, it makes no sense. I can understand playing him the last game at home, especially for a half, because it's going to be a little bit of a celebration of what Westbrook's season. And I think that's probably the right thing to do. And also, you want to stay sharp because you got a couple days off before game one. You don't want to give a guy a week off. You want him to be sharp and be playing and in rhythm and everything like that. But it's a back-to-back. I mean, there's just no reason to play him both games.
Right. My educated guess is that – and this is an educated guess because the Thunder haven't announced anything as of the time of us having this conversation. But my educated guess is Westbrook sits. I'm pretty confident that Robertson's going to sit. McDermott is already out. They should not play Robertson.
No, I mean – yeah. I mean, especially if he's not – if he's not 100%, there's no reason to. Unless it's the type of thing where they're trying to work him back in, you know?
Right.
I guess it could go one of two ways. If Robertson's not healthy, then you sit him. But if it's he's healthy, he just needs to kind of work back in, then maybe you do play him for 15, 20 minutes or something.
Yeah, it's just tough on a back-to-back.
Yeah.
It's just tough on a back-to-back. I think Kanter will play. I bet Adams rests.
Man, so who's your starting five?
You can start Kanter at the five.
Well, what's the Blues? What's the Blues situation? Can they call Huestis up?
They have a playoff game.
I know, but this would be a time to me. Forget the Blue. Bring Huestis up and give him 30 minutes in a game.
Yeah, well, they did that in Portland last year.
I know. I think it's worthwhile. Why not? You know, why not? As Russell would say.
Yeah, I mean,
you're starting five. Okay, so if you got no Westbrook, no Abrines, no Robertson,
so Samaje starts at the one. Abrines is questionable tomorrow. He might play.
Okay.
So let's just to make this more fun, let's operate under the assumption that he's not going to play, even though I think he is going to play because he hasn't been with the team the entire road trip, and he came to Minneapolis today and he participated in practice. And I just don't think they would have dragged him all the way out here if he wasn't going to play.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's probably likely he'll play.
Right. But just to make this more fun, let's assume that he doesn't. So you'd have Samaje at the one.
Oladipo, I guess. I guess we're going to assume he's going to play.
Let's assume Abrines is your two.
Okay.
Three would be Singler.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Sabonis.
Gibson's going to rest one of these games, too.
Oh, absolutely. So Sabonis.
Yeah, you can go Sabonis, Kanter, or you can go Grant Sabonis. No, you can't do that against Minnesota. You can go Sabonis, Kanter.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Billy wants to start Kanter. Kanter's kind of a creature of habit, and I think
I kind of agree with you.
I don't think he would start Kanter. I think Kanter would still come off the bench and play.
Did he start Collison?
Yeah, maybe he starts Collison.
Just play Nick?
We've discussed this. We've discussed this situation before. Not with the Minnesota game, but if the Thunder have their seed locked up and the last game doesn't matter at all, do you start Nick Collison in the last game I don't know if this is true or not. And who knows what will happen at the end of this year, but Nick Collison's contract is up and
right.
you know, just there's a non-zero chance this would be his last regular season game as a member of the Thunder. And if he doesn't play in the postseason, could be his last time he plays with the Thunder. Do you start Nick Collison?
I mean, if the assumption is it's his last, you know, if he's retiring, then yes. I mean, you absolutely do. But, like, you know, that's operating under the assumption that if he is. I think, honestly, Fred, I think, you know, it might be revealing of Collison's future plans, which I'm pretty sure Nick doesn't even know what he's doing yet. I don't know that he's made any kind of decision himself. I'm sure he's thought about it plenty, but, like, you know, if the Thunder do something in that game, you know, that will tip their hand one way or the other. If they start Collison, I think we all need to kind of raise our eyebrow and go, like, wait a second, something happening here. But Nick still thinks he can play. You know, I mean, I've talked to him.
Right.
About
well, the reason I bring it up is not, I mean, obviously partially retirement, but just his contract's up.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, technically he could go play for somebody else. And Nick is a very pragmatic guy. And, you know, if another team is, you know, if the Thunder are like, well, Nick, you know, salute, we don't have a spot for you or whatever it is, and Nick still feels like he can play, I don't think Nick Collison is, like, married to the idea that he has to retire with the Thunder. I don't think that he – I think Nick is, like, you know, he's a prideful guy that feels like, hey, I still want to keep playing. This is my career. So
– I feel like he would buck the trend. And how upset would Thunder fans be if he didn't get a tribute video?
He would get a tribute video.
He'd be the first one getting a tribute video.
I think he would get one. He's too beloved. I mean, they love that guy.
Yeah. He wouldn't get one, though. They can never give anyone a tribute video ever.
Policy. Now. Team policy.
They can never change it. They can never change it. They can't. They put themselves in a position to where they can never give a tribute. And I'm not saying they want to.
Because of Durant?
Don't. Yeah, they can't.
That was – I don't agree with that because they were in such an impossible position.
No, I'm not saying they should have given a tribute video for Durant. But their official answer on everything was we don't give tribute videos.
I think that was the stance policy that they took for that game. It wouldn't shock me if – maybe not next year, but the year after or something like that, in a future return for Durant as things kind of soften a little bit, maybe then they do it down the line.
That's fine, but then we're all going to call them out as disingenuous with their answer before.
Well, but that's what they had to say here. They couldn't just say, well, we don't want to give them one.
No, of course. And they didn't give one Russell to Serge. They didn't give one to Harden, and they didn't give one to Deion Waiters. But they didn't give one to DJ Augustine getting cheered. Is just like, all right, Thunder fans, you'll cheer everybody. I was offended that DJ Augustine.
There were light claps for Jeremy Lamb, which I loved.
There were light claps for Jeremy Lamb. Yeah, that is true. It was golf clappy.
Yeah,
but they can never give. I don't think they can ever give a tribute video. I think they put themselves organizationally in a position. I don't think they want to give a tribute to video anyway. I think they're perfectly fine with it.
But, yeah, I think they kind of like the idea that they don't.
Yeah, if they didn't, then they would do them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think they like – they're such an anti-controversial organization.
That thereby accidentally creates controversy.
Yeah, yes, true. But they operate in such a way that they want to be as non-confrontational as possible with every other organization in the league. And so I don't think they want to do it. I'm not saying they do want to do it. I don't think they ever can now.
Probably not.
They probably can't. It's okay. Who? I'm trying to think. Slater didn't get one.
No, he didn't. Sad.
Slater didn't get one. Awful.
That's sad.
This was supposed to be 5 more minutes. I thought you had to. Oh, I guess you said you didn't have to go.
No, I don't got to go.
Carrie's still around?
Yes, she's right here.
Hey, Carrie. Hey. Carrie, I'm going to give him back to you.
The only time I'm gonna have to go is when this DVR finally, like, you know, like when it catches up and, like, my pause doesn't work anymore. That's when I'm gonna have to go, which might actually be very soon. I don't know how long this has been paused.
Yeah. That usually takes an hour for me, and then it's gone.
Oh, is it an hour on ours? Oh, we're already recording it, so it's not a big deal. Okay.
All right. Well, I'll let you go.
All right.
This podcast. As they always do with you, this podcast is totally devolved. We're just talking about DVR.
I didn't type in www.google.com a single time on this
thing. We didn't Google anything.
Huh? Well, yeah, but I didn't Google anything.
Chris, you're now having just off mic conversations.
What's that? Middle. What's that back there?
What the fuck?
Who's that?
I'm going to keep all of this in. Mostly out of laziness.
This is what the people come to hear.
There we go. All right. Go on to normantranscript.com. You can see my Robertson article that's going to be up Tuesday morning. I think it should go up around 8 a.m. Central. Royce, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say your boy James Johnson's having a game apparently.
Oh, is he? What's James Johnson doing?
I don't know. I just saw somebody tweet about him.
Well, that's a big James Johnson. It's a good name.
I know Johnson. That was worth interrupting your plug.
James Johnson's a good yeah, exactly. James Johnson's a good name.
It is a good name. He sounds like a president.
Oh yeah. Yeah. James Johnson could totally be a president.
Yeah, James Johnson. I guess he's doing good things. His numbers aren't necessarily great, but
James Johnson?
I mean, they're fine. I guess he just fouled out. He fouled out though.
Oh, you mean in this game?
Yeah, in this game. His game. I don't know what happened. I just saw somebody tweet like James Johnson, great play or something.
Royce, we have to decapitate this podcast.
Somebody just make it in. What's that back there?
Okay. You know what? Just goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye. See you later.
It's over. It's over.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
When Flo flows, she flows in the know. Mind ruminates, the wraiths. Shown them all, I heed the call. Seeing the rest, I choose the best. Sometimes it's ours, sometimes it's not. When the fox walks, is it called a fox trot? That's a real question.
Compare Progressive direct rates with competitors' rates. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.